I'm in the presence of God every time. It never fails. He never fails us, right? He never fails. He's so wonderful to us. You know, God's been speaking to me a lot about positioning. The month of December for me is always a month of positioning to get ready for what's coming in the next year, right? So be prepared to hear from him today through the living word, right, of God, and every Sunday, but every day you're going to hear from him. He wants to get you ready for 2016. He wants to get stuff prepared, line you up for your divine appointments, right? Here, take some time over this Christmas season, you know, to sit and just be in his presence. And remember, he came to earth, right, to set us free. He had to be raised like a just like us as a baby and taken care of. But he came to set us free and take the whole thing on himself, right, all our sins and pains, and take them to the grave so we could walk free and serve his kingdom. And he's got so many good plans coming. I haven't been so excited in my life for what's coming. I mean, God's wonderful. So just try to get to a place where you can hear his voice and let go in the worship. This worship time is like the time where we are free. Our burdens can be laid down. Let that rattle trap of your mind just go quiet and put down the problems and just be free in his presence. And he'll remind you what it's like to be free. Even if you feel like you're tied down this morning, he wants to remind you, man, you're free. You are absolutely free in me. So we've got some announcements here. Cheryl Patterson is going to be putting on some prophetic teaching. She's putting a course together, and it's going to start in the new year. So she just wants to keep you guys posted that she'll have more information for you, dates to be announced toward the end of December. So look for that. That's going to be wonderful to have some prophetic teaching in our church. I mean, the prophetic is a scary thing, right? When God starts speaking to you and starts directing you, sometimes we feel like Moses. Oh, man, phew, am I ready? Amen, right? So we're really reading the Bible. We're spending time in the prophetic, and he wants us all. Paul says it clearly, man. We all have prophetic gifting, right? We're all supposed to be out there prophesying the word of God, right? So this is a chance for us to sit and get some training in this, because I know it's tough when you start hearing from the Lord and he starts putting it to you and saying, here's what I want you to do, my son, my daughter. Here's what I want you to speak. Here's the things I want you to walk in. It takes strength and it takes numbers sometimes, and it takes teaching. It takes training. It takes having people to guide you and help walk with you in this. But it's going to be amazing, right? Sure.
When you speak to people about Jesus, remember that it is not you speaking, but the Spirit speaking through you.
Awesome. Thank you, brother. Amen. So just be prepared. You know, she'll get the information out, but if you feel encouraged, even if you feel a little tug today, right, that's what God wants to do, just start warming you up to these things. Hey, maybe the prophecy school's for you. And right away, a lot of time, our first reaction is, oh, not for me. But just step into it, right? Just try to get yourself in a positioning so you're ready to step forward. God's going to get you set up so we can step forward into things, right? So just be prepared for that. Stan and Crystal are going to be hosting a Christmas dinner on December 13th, which is next Sunday, at their home at 5 p.m. And it's going to be a potluck theme. So they'll be going around trying to find out who's bringing what. So if you're coming to the potluck and you're going to bring something, just let one of the ladies know that Arlene and Alvin's wife, Kathy, sorry. So good with names. But yeah, let them know. But it's next Sunday at 5 p.m. at their home. We also have a ladies' retreat in March. There's information in your bulletin on that. So check out that. As far as the Hope Mission, I'm the manager at Hope Mission, so we got lots of good things going. This next week, our 170 kids that we've got in our Kids in Action program, we're having family dinners at three churches, and over 300 people are going. So God's doing a work, right? So Kentwood Alliance, Unity Baptist, and Liberty Christian, which are all neighborhood churches right beside the schools we're working in, are all hosting these families. So keep that in prayer. Because our prayer is that they get a home church, that these families are saved, right? Not just the children are hearing about Jesus. We want to see redemption in these families. We want to see broken lives made new. It's not just about what Cope Mission's doing. We need partners. Just like Potter's Hand is our partner, we have these churches now as partners. And we're going to take the gospel forward with that. And we want to see lives made new. I went and spoke at Kentwood last week, and there's a family just new to Christ, getting their baby dedicated. And God spoke to them the night before and said, what about you two? Why don't you get baptized? So that morning I'm about to speak about Hope Mission and these kids and these families that are coming to their church. There's a family being baptized and a baby being dedicated. Brand new believers. You know, and it was like, wow, this is what I want for all these families. I want them all in the kingdom, right? I want all these kids saved. I want these families redeemed, renewed, made new, right? So that's coming next weekend. We got three dinners, bang, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday night. So be praying for us as we're out there doing our thing. Next week is the search. Robin announced this last week. I'll just hit on it again. Thursday, 7 p.m. at the Hope Mission Center, which is pretty much a stone's throw from here. Just across the old Bargain Treasure Shop. This is for people that you know that aren't saved. I'm an evangelist, man. I want to see people saved. So if you got friends and family, anybody in your life, just talk to them and say, would you come and spend an hour with me and listen to this search workshop? Right? It's a beginning point. We just want to get them. It's an interactive thing where we mostly just ask questions and ask them what they think about. What are they searching for? What are their answers? Where are they going to get answers? What about God? Did you ever consider God as part of your search? Maybe God's part of this. And what about the Bible? Maybe there's a book God actually wrote to help us in this journey. And it'll make life a lot easier. And it'll take away some of the problems. And it'll get you thinking about some different things. So it's, and then they walk away with a 30-day journey, prayer, go to church, do a whole bunch of things, talk to some Christian friends, read the book of John, and then we get back together a month later. So hopefully over Christmas, they'll encounter the living God, right? During Christmas, it won't be about presents. It'll be, man, there's a God in heaven. There's this Jesus Christ guy that died for me. And by the new year, they'll come in ready to go and get saved and get pushing forward in God. So if you got friends and family members, I know what it's like. I got friends in Red Deer that I'm back that aren't saved. I'm trying to get them to come, trying to convince them, hey, give me an hour of your time. Give me just an hour. So that's next Thursday, 7 o'clock. If you need an information sheet, I got lots. Come pick them up. And our mission, our center is still under renovations. We just want to thank Stan and Seth. They've done a marvelous job. It's coming together. It's looking great. And all the other workers, Jody and some of the people that are here that have helped, even Byron helped a long time ago. There's been so many people put a hand on that place and bless it. But it's just about ready. But the 17th, there's some information about our grand opening. So that'll be coming up as well. Now, we've got some ladies here in the church here that have a word today, so we're just going to let them have the mic here. First, we're going to invite Karen Ross to come up and speak and share what's on her heart. So bless you, Karen. It's a word for the church, I believe.
Thank you. This is not so much on my heart, but on the Lord's heart. I got this last Saturday night. Hang on a sec. I need to put my eyes on. So this goes along with what he was saying about the prophetic word. If you're open to God and you're pressing into him and you're being still and you're listening for him, he will speak to you in many different ways. And this is one of the ways that he talks to me. Tell my people that I love them. I know he said this before, and you need to know that. He does love you, and he loves you unconditionally. Tell them that I am coming back soon, back to collect my sheep, my people, my bride, my own. They are to wait upon me, to search me, to hear from me, to acknowledge my position and to look for me, to wonder and ponder upon me. Tell them that evil days are ahead, to make sure they know my voice securely. Tell them it is important to press into my presence, into my saving grace. Tell them that there are many who will come in my name. They come as wolves, ready to devour my little lambs, the new ones. Prepare for battle. For the day has come that my people who are called by my name must rise up and be vocal, to speak out and show the world that I am King, I am Lord, and I am the one and only true God. Tell them that their programs, their ideas, their security and rituals is all coming to a close. They need to know me, to hear me and be one with me. Soon they will be working alongside me in the battlefield, healing the injured, helping the lame, resurrecting the brokenhearted. If my people are not ready, many shall suffer and perhaps perish. I say, stand tall, stand still, stand sure, stand in strength, stand in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, we were just studying at Ephesians 6 at Lazarus' house, and that word stand comes up, stand, stand, stand. That reminded me of that totally, that we're supposed to be standing for the Lord. Awesome. We also have a word from Vicky was going to come up here and share as well. And this is what we have, a prophetic church, right? And this is the utterances of the Lord through the hearts of his people, right? And this is important. Our body needs to be edified by the prophets.
Several years ago, I had a dream, and in the dream, I was sitting beside the Lord on a couch, and he was dressed like a university professor, and he turned to me, and I looked around, and I said, Lord, you know, like, what's going on here? And he said, I just want to tell you, cream is a Krakowian logic. And then I woke up, and I looked everywhere to find out what Krakowian means. I have no idea. It must be a heavenly word, because I can't find the meaning of it anywhere. But cream, the logic in cream is that its DNA is to rise to the top, okay? So no matter what the enemy does to us, when we have the Spirit of God within us, we will always rise to the top, even if it's in death. And the picture that the Lord gave me, one day I was sitting beside the river and I was trying to explain to someone what it means to rise to the top when you've been through hell. And the Lord gave me a picture of a piece of styrofoam. And he showed me a whole bunch of rocks on the piece of styrofoam at the bottom of the river. And then he showed me a great big huge flood come, and the power of the surge of the water knocked the rocks off of the styrofoam. And what happened? The styrofoam popped to the top, because that's in its DNA to float. And I don't know if any of you remember that old movie with Sandra Bullock, Hope Floats. It's in our DNA to float. So no matter what the enemy does to you, no matter how hard he tries to push you down, even if you drown, you still float, because you're going to get to go to heaven in the end. And so that's my word of encouragement to all of us, that no matter what, we have in our major DNA that Jesus has changed us so that we float. And those of you who don't know Jesus, if you give your heart to Jesus and accept him into your lives, you will float too.
Amen. Yeah, I remember God telling me, just jump in the river, Kelly, point your feet downstream and float. And let the Holy Spirit take you, right? Just let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Don't try to put your feet down. Don't try to grab a twig, you know, or a stump or grab a rock. Just let yourself float and point your feet downstream. I believe we have one more word from Cheryl, but I don't see her in here right now. That was the one? We're good to go? All right. Well, we have our testimony time. And it's funny, we were singing in joy today, in full joy, right? And it's so much about joy in those songs. As we got Joy Short is going to be sharing a part of her testimony today. Joyce was one of the first people I met when I came. I went on the Jesus Walk downtown. I moved here July 1. July 2, I'm in the bookstore when it was still open. Now they've reopened, if you don't know that, the Parable Store. And there's a sign about a Jesus Walk. I'm like, amen. First day and first weekend in Red Deer, I'm going on a Jesus Walk. How cool is this? And it's all of Potter's Hands. And I knew I needed to meet Potter's Hands. And I'm like, well, God, thanks for making my first appointment. And I met Stan and Alvin and Joyce and Matthias and many more. But I remember Joyce stuck out. Just the depth in her eyes, the depth of her spirit, and how she's rooted in the Lord. She just stood out, and I was like, wow, this lady is a powerful woman of God, and it is. The name Joyce really fits. So I just want to pray for Joyce here. As she was worshiping there, I could see just, you know, she's got a lot on her heart this morning. So Lord, just free Joyce up here in the spirit to speak your word and share her story, just how you want it done, Lord. Just give her peace, give her a stillness in her heart and a clarity in her mind, and let this just flow with you, Lord, just like she's in that river with you, Jesus. I just bless Joyce in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Here I am. I've been doing a lot of praying, I tell you. God tells me I need to give my testimony. I pray lots. Because it's not, I'm not very good up in front of people. I can talk to you one-on-one, but not in front of people. Anyways, 10 minutes isn't very long for me to give a testimony what the Lord has done for me in my life. So, let's get started. And they came, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Revelation 12, 11a. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Okay, I am the eighth child of 14 children. And when I was born, there was two sacks over me. Now, what does that mean? And my mom thought I was a freak. Well, that stayed with me. So did I. My father was very abusive, sexually, mentally, and I literally became to hate him. When I was 11 or 12, I came home from school, and my father gave me $10, the only money I ever got from him, and he told me to go to Regina and get a job. When I was 11 years old, think back in my time, when I was 11, what did I know? Not much. But I went back into town, and I picked up jobs, babysitting, house cleaning. Lord, thank you. And looking after the elderly. Anything I could do to get myself through grade 10, because when I was 16, my mom and dad couldn't, they didn't have to sign for me to quit school. I could quit. At the age of 14, I met my husband, and we married when I was 17. He was an alcoholic, and he was abusive also, mentally, physically, sexually. Isn't it amazing? You still find what you know. And he called me white trash. And again, I thought that's what I was. But we had five children. One day after our 10th anniversary, I said to him, you know, if something should happen to you, what do I do with you? And he said, don't worry, you're going to die first. I thought that was okay with me. A week later, he drowned in the Fraser River. And, Lord, no body was found for 9 months. So, he hadn't paid the insurance. So this left the kids and I with no money. This was a time. Of horror. If you want to know the story, you'll have to talk to me. And our oldest son went absolutely crazy. Now here I was. It's maybe more than 10 minutes. I had five children, no education, withdrawn, no confidence, and a basket case. How was I going to raise these kids? I contemplated giving them up. Surely somebody else could do a better job. But no one would love them like I did. So our journey began, a pretty rough one. My youngest brother came to live with me. Now remember, I was gone when I was 11, and he was quite a few years younger than me. It was like a stranger coming to live with me. But we became very close. He was my lifesaver. A year later, we moved to Alberta. I still had to learn to drive. I had so much fear, fear of everything. I started going to bars, even though I didn't drink, but I was so stressed. And, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Then I welfare phoned me one day, and they said, you are enrolled in school, February 2nd. And I thought, holy smokes, how am I going to do this? So I went to talk to Mr. Reeves, anybody that knows Mr. Reeves, and I told him I wanted all the math I could get, And he said, you're lucky if you make junior secretary. And I agreed. I aced all my math subjects, but when it came to typing, at 49 words a minute with 49 mistakes. Mr. Reeves called me in one day and apologized for his mistake. But welfare wouldn't change my program. And I know Mr. Reeves slowed down so I could get the dictation for my typing and my shorthand. I graduated with honors. In February 1983, a sister of mine asked me to go to church with her. Are you kidding me, church? So I finally did, to get her off my back. Well, God had other things in mind. The preacher preached on forgiveness, and my dad received forgiveness that day, and I received Jesus. Now, I didn't know much about him, but I knew if I hung on to him, things would be okay. And I'm not saying they were all okay. It wasn't just really wonderful. Some days it was just a thread I had. And Ryan was right. It's the Lord that's in you that speaks. I would talk to people about Jesus. Then I'd go read the Bible. And there was the words I spoke. I didn't know them, but Jesus knew them. And he spoke to the people I was talking to. I was so amazed. In March of 83, my youngest brother who'd come to live with me was killed in a car accident. What a loss. Yeah. Lots of trials and tribulation, but doesn't God promise that to us? Eventually I married, ended up in divorce. And I said to the Lord one day, why do I have to go through so much? And he said to me, I came to earth to identify with you. I need you to go through things so you can identify for me. So I said, okay, as long as I know you're with me. This is when I moved to Red Deer. You know what? I waited for Jesus to leave me just like everybody else left me. I waited for him to reject me. In fact, I waited 20 years for that. And one day he said to me, I am never going to leave you. And he hasn't. And God has brought me through a lot. He's delivered me from fear and delivered me from cigarettes. I lived on cigarettes and coffee when I was younger. I was a whole lot less heavier, too. I dealt with oppression a lot, and I remember the first time the enemy came upon me. It was so heavy, and God kept saying to me, praise me, praise me. And I'm thinking, that is the craziest thing I'm hearing. But eventually, I started to praise the Lord, and he left. And I've dealt with oppression, attacks of the enemy many times. But I know the power is in the name of Jesus. And just calling on him, the enemy has to flee. There's many times God's given me much opportunity to see his glory. And I want to tell you about two people I had in my life that passed away. Marvelous experiences. It just encouraged me. One is the mother of a girl who lives with my son. And she had cancer. And I went to see her one night. I wanted to go and see her. And we were singing and praying, and she had music going on. And I'd look in her eyes, and you know what? I saw eternity. But don't ask me what eternity is. And she would say to me, my gosh, the beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? I'd say, I don't know. Tell me. I wanted to know, but it wasn't my turn to know what eternity's like. Anyways, I stepped out a little bit with my son, and when we come back in, she said to me, where have you been? I'm thinking, okay, this dying woman is giving me heck. She said, pray. Pray in that funny language you pray in, Ukrainian or whatever it is, she said. And anyways, so we prayed. I stayed with her that night, and she passed away the next morning. I want to tell you, 8 years ago, I was sick to death twice. Twice I was at death's door, and you know, I was so peaceful. I thought, yeah, I finally get to go. But here I am, still here. And you know what? If you want to know what God did in that situation, you'll have to talk to me. Another one is my buddy, Terry. Terry's my buddy. He passed away 2 years ago. Him and I work together, and God's taught me lots. When I met Terry, he played in a rock band. Of course, I'm a Christian, right? He's a rocker, right? I want nothing to do with him. God had other ideas. A Christmas party, Terry came to sit with me at my table, and I'm thinking, oh, great. And we had a talk, and it was good. And then the lead singer in the band got cancer, and he died. And we had a moment silence for him, and I looked across the circle, and I saw Terry. And he was in pain. So I walked over, gave him a hug. And a year later, Terry got cancer. When I come back from Vegas, I said, Joyce, Terry's sick in the hospital. He's not going to get out. But I walked 5 years with Terry. With his cancer, we become pretty close, closer. You think we were married. People thought we were. But no, we weren't. We were just very good friends. Loved him. I got to tell you about when Terry died. I tell you, God is so real. And there is something about passing away, passing over into the new land. I'm telling you, I can hardly wait to find it all out. I only get little glimpses. And they called me into Terry's room when he was dying. And he was tossing from to and fro. Help me, help me, he was crying. And I thought, what the heck? So I watched him for a while. And then Terry started, eyes wide open, looking up, shaking his finger and fisting at something, talking in a language I didn't understand. And so I phoned Ricky and I said, oh, we got to pray for Terry. He's having a really hard time. So we did. We prayed for Terry and I went back. I laid his, my hand on his hand and I said, Terry, you know it's Jesus. Cry out to Jesus, Terry. And I prayed in tongues. And I prayed and kept talking to him. And he quietened down so much that I couldn't hear him breathe. I had to watch his chest. And within a few minutes, he was gone. And I never saw so much peace on Terry's face. And his eyes sparkled at me and smiled. And I'm sure he wanted to tell me something. I know the next day that I had a vision of Terry and I running to each other. And I know I'll see him again. I know he made it into heaven with Jesus. Now, you know, there's a lot of things that God has done for me so much. He has so blessed me. I know he doesn't see me as the freak. I know he doesn't see me as trash. And I finally got to know my father, finally. For a long time, I wouldn't call God my father, not at all. But I am finally his daughter. And God has blessed me so much, I want to tell you. He's given me 5 children. 13 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, wonderful family here, and my favoriteest pastor. What more could I ask for? You know, I want to sing you a song, if you'd let me do that. Okay. Doug, I need some help. I don't know how to put this thing in here. Just like that, eh? Just like that. I can't see Chris. I just got to move over because I can't. Thanks. Thanks. Oh, shoot, I need a pick. Can you give me that? There I am. Thank you. That's my pick. That's mine. Yeah. Okay, this is my plea. Can you hear me? Okay. We're going to do it. Can't hear me, Doug? To be like Jesus.
to love everyone, no heart to love. I know this is God's will from up above, to be like Jesus is my plea, and that he will be pleased with me. Lord, here I give myself to thee, to be like Jesus. Yet I know Jesus knows what is best to make me someday come forth as God, that I may enter his loving fold and to be like Jesus. Is my plea, and that he will be pleased with me. Lord, here I give myself to thee, to be like Jesus. Myself to thee, to be like Jesus is my plea.
Thank you.
Amen. Right on. Well, I just want to pray for Joyce here before she heads back. I just want to pray for her before she heads back to her seat. Alvin will pray with us too. Well, Lord, just thank you for just the work you've done in our sister. What a miracle. What an amazing story. Lord, the redemption, just how you brought her out of that miry clay, Lord. We just thank you for her. We just want to pray healing into those wounds that were opened up again here today, Lord. Yeah. They're still raw. We just pray your hand upon her.
Yeah.
Just heal up those wounds, Lord. Just bless her and let her just be comforted by all the good things you've done, Lord. Just give her a spirit of comfort and just guard her this week, Lord. Just stand with her and keep her safe, Lord. And whatever the enemy's got planned, he's under our feet.
Yeah.
We just put him there now and just leave him there in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. I just had a couple things on my heart just to pray for before we go. Jody's son's trying to get up to a recovery program, and he's having those stumbling steps trying to get there. So I just want to lift him up. I want to lift up Jordan to you, Lord. Just still his beating heart. Yeah. Get a hold of him in the spirit, Lord, and calm his soul and get him on the right path, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Just help him, Lord. Help Jody and his uncle and all the people around him that are praying for him and want him in that program. I just want to see him saved and free of this addiction, Lord. We come against it all, Lord, and we ask for your hand upon him in Jesus' name. Lord, and just put these people on the hearts of the people here today that need to be at the search, Lord. Just put them on their heart that they'll make the phone call, that they'll make that connection, Lord, that they'll get the people in the seat so we can see some people saved over these holidays, Lord. And just thank you for the living word that's going to come forth from my brother here today. Lord, let it go straight through the heart. Let it go straight in there and plant some seed and get us prepared, Lord. We position ourselves now to hear from you, Lord. Humble our hearts. Humble our minds. Still our hearts and minds so we can hear from you, Lord. And let this word go deep. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I too want to pray. great are you, Lord. For there is no other God beside you. All other gods are idols. Only Jesus is the real God. You chase after all these other gods. But at the end of the day, my Jesus is real. He's the real God. And God, there's people that have come in here this morning with pain, with addictions, with trauma, carrying a load of sin. And God, you want them to release that this morning because they're tired. They've been burdened down. They've been carrying it for too long. So every one of them, I pray, Holy Spirit, just brood over each one. Help them to see that they don't have to carry that criticism, that judgment, that unforgiveness, that pain. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We don't need to carry it. We were not meant to carry it. We were not meant to carry it. Jesus is the sin bearer. He can carry all your sins, all your struggles, all your bad habits. Jesus is here today to help you to take that load, that backpack of sin out of your life. You do not have to carry it. Hallelujah, Lord. So I just pray for everyone, Lord. Work in their hearts, Lord. Work in their hearts, Jesus. Work in their hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I knew this Terry guy that Joyce was talking about. We'd pray for him on a Friday night. We would, at the river, we would pray down for this man. Never met him once. But my heart just went out to him. I think we had the funeral here. And I was able to share, you know. And my heart was just, man, this guy, you know, we prayed for him. Joyce would come in and request, man, we would just pray for Terry. Let's pray for Terry. He's so close. And we'd pray. Never met him. But hallelujah. You know, I think of another man. His name is Mel Gilchrist. This guy was a father figure to me. I met Mel back in 1974, probably, and worked for him for a little bit, construction, working over in West Park, and was working, and got to know him, and ended up in over in Olds College for a first-year apprentice, carpentry, and... So this man became a father figure to me, and he loved me as a son. I kid you not. He loved me as a son, you know, and he had other sons. But I tell you, you know, there was so much of this between him and his son, Brian. Eh? But I got to know Mel really good. And the day I got, about a week after I got out of Olds College, it was a 3-month course. Came home to Red Deer and didn't know what I was going to do, but I thought, well, I'm going to go. This Melcor Homes is in the city here, so I'm going to go see if they're looking for any guys and stuff, eh? And so I went and over in Highland Green Estates, and as I went in there, here I met Mal. So here's Mal. He's a site soup for Melcor Homes. And so... And he says, man, your ears must be burning. And I said, no. I says, no, they're not. He was just coming over to my place to see if I wanted to work for Melcor Homes. And so here I am. So I know it was God. So the only company that I ever worked for 5 years, I worked for these guys. I worked service rigs, and I was just transient. I just worked a couple months and then float over to another place. But I worked for Melcor Homes for 5 years. And so to make long story short, at the end of these 5 years, and me and my wife had gotten back together, we needed some snowshoes, and I knew Mel had some snowshoes. We were doing a display over at the Hudson Bay store at Bar Mall. And so we got these snowshoes from Mel. And you can, you know, use them and bring them back, whatever. So did that, had that display up there for a month. So about a month later, we got the snowshoes back, so I wanted to bring them over. So I phoned up Mel, and I talked to his wife, and she was there. She says, I says, Mel there? He says, no, he's in the hospital. In the hospital? Oh. So what's up? Well, he's had a brain aneurysm. And I said, oh my gosh, you know. So I brought the snowshoes and I went to the hospital. And went in there, and all he had was 5% brain activity, just 5%. So and he's in a coma and stuff. Hallelujah. I tried to preach the gospel to this guy many a times, and he'd put me off. Alvin, you need Jesus because you're bad. And it was true. Yeah, I am bad. But he wouldn't allow me to talk to him about Jesus. So now here he is in a coma. So, and I just, man, praise God. What other opportunity, right? Hallelujah. I preached the gospel to him. I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to Mel, my father figure there, and shared with him, sang some songs with him, and prayed with him. And, you know, what do? So I went home, and next day I felt the urge just to, maybe it was either the next day or 2 days later. I went back, did the same thing, preached the gospel to him, shared with him, and prayed with him. But all of a sudden, this urge in my heart just kind of like, yeah, you can go now, Mel. That's what I felt in my heart. You can go. So, whatever. So, and so, 2 days later, he passed away. He passed away. I have no idea, you know. But I pray that he made things right with God. And this word is so powerful. And go right into there. You know, the physical body can be comatose, but the spirit man is alive. Amen? And so, that was just a powerful experience and brought back memories with Terry, you know. We have no idea what happens. You know, God leads us into situations like that, and we're obedient to that, and we'll see the outcome. Maybe Mal's going to be. Maybe I'll be meeting him up there. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It was so powerful service this morning. So that worship was just so, man, so powerful. I just thank you, Lord. Amen? I tell you, what it does, the worship for me, it gets me to not focus upon myself, but focus on Him, the living God. Amen? And that's what it's, worship does. Because sometimes our things that we carry in into this place, we're so heavily burdened with these things. But just worshiping, just entering into worship, and just lifting your hands and saying, oh God, there's this situation here. There's this situation over here. There's the waves over here. There's mountains over here. But God, I'm just going to worship you. And we enter in. We lift our hands and say, oh God, I surrender all. And Lord God, I surrender my life into your hands. Hallelujah. I surrender this situation into your hands. So we pick up holy hands and we lift them up to him. And God begins to take those things, those cares. I mean, those things can burden you down so bad that you would crawl in here. I've been in that place where you get so burdened down with the things of life. Amen? And what other place could you come be set free from that? Amen? I mean, you could go to the meds and get to the doctor and take some medication and stuff. You know, that would suffice for a little while. But I tell you, when you enter in and you worship the living God, just allow the words, Jesus, I just love you. Lord, I just love you to pieces, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're the great and awesome God. There is no other God beside you. Hallelujah. And as you take your focus off yourself and off these situations, man, the freedom, what we were talking about this morning, the freedom of living with Jesus. Amen? There are situations, I tell you, that are beyond our control. This past week, my son, Jay, he was got a job and went up to Peace River. And he has panic attacks. And I don't know if maybe some of you guys experience panic attacks, but they're not good. This boy would phone us up 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, various times. Dad, I'm having a heart attack, you know. And that's what it feels like. Well, you got to speak to that now. Okay, Jay. Okay, that is not so. Okay? So he'd get us to pray for him. Hallelujah. And just talk to him. Amen? And so that's the power of God's word. Hallelujah. When we look to him. Amen? So this week he went up there and he was feeling kind of antsy about going up there because he doesn't want to be embarrassed like if he's working with someone and staying there and then he has a panic attack. So, you know, it's embarrassing for him. You know, he's freaking out and he can't get no communication out of there. Like he's in the sticks or someplace there, right? So we were a little bit concerned for him and we prayed at the war room. Hallelujah. I felt there was a breakthrough. Brother Daniel prayed for us. Hallelujah. And talked to him last night and sounded like everything was okay. Praise God. That's the power of prayer. Amen. So I just encourage us. We do a prayer service here tonight at 6 o'clock. It's just for 1 hour. Just 1 hour. Just come. Just come and pray. Come and get hooked up together. Get knit together. Amen. I believe there's things out there that are happening right now that are going to bring us. Amen. And it's going to bring us together. You know, we have a choice right now. But I tell you, the day is coming. The day is coming, my brothers, my sisters. Okay? When we need each other. And how about now? Let's pray. Come and pray with us. Amen. Come and pray with us over at the war room there for now. For this next week anyway. And then we're going to cross over to the Hope Mission there and have prayer there. But I tell you, if you want to experience victory, if you want to experience the presence of God, come and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's work. It's work coming to pray. I mean, you're going to have everything under the sun come against you. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's going to come against you. It's going to stop you. Amen? But just come anyway. This flesh, I'm not going to listen to it. I am not going to listen to this thing. This thing is dead. This thing here wants to take me to an eternal hell. This here. See that? This flesh wants to take me into an eternal hell. It is not my friend. The flesh, the human body, is not my friend. Only Jesus Christ is my friend. Amen? Hallelujah. So this thing here has to die. It has to die. You want to experience more of God? Do you? Want to experience more of Him? This thing has to die. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? I'll tell you. 20 years ago, I had that powerful experience, and I told you last week about praying and saying, God, I give you the rest of my life. Many of you here are hanging on to this. You're hanging on to this flesh. Okay? The flesh doesn't profit nothing in God's kingdom. The flesh doesn't profit nothing. It's the spirit. It's the spirit man in you. Okay? This body is going to die. This flesh here is going to die. Amen? It's going to fall down one day. You're going to have a funeral for it, whatever the case may be, you know, and stuff. But hey, listen, I'm alive forevermore. We're eternal beings right now. If you have Jesus, it doesn't matter if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're still eternal. Now you will spend eternity in heaven or you'll spend eternity in hell. Amen? It's your choice. You have this thing called free will. And you can choose today whom you shall serve. If you want to serve this, it'll take you into eternal hell. But if you want to serve the Spirit of living God, Jesus Christ, He'll take you into eternal glory. Amen. And He's real. Amen? Jesus is real. All these other gods, these so-called gods, they're dead. They're demon forces, the majority of these things. You can put up an idol here, up here, whatever. You can pray to this thing. This thing has no power. This thing has no power. Has no power. I know the one who has created these things. And his name is Jesus Christ. Some of you have never given your hearts to Christ. Some of you have never bowed your knee before the living God. Never. You know him in here. I was no different. I was Catholic, 24 years. The pastors had come around and told me about Jesus Christ. I knew about him. I was raised in Catholicism. I knew about him, okay, in my mind. But I didn't know it was possible to meet him, to meet Jesus Christ. I didn't know it was possible. So when I asked Christ to come into my life, he came in, revealed himself to me. I tell you, when he begins to reveal himself to you and show himself that he's real, my sins are forgiven. I says, are you kidding me? I got eternal life. Whoa, I'm going to heaven. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven. Right? Everybody? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Okay. We've decided that. However, there's a process. Okay? Is this not, say, good enough to receive Christ? Here's, I'll give you an analogy here. Say, if you know anything about baseball, okay, so here's home base, and here's the pitcher. So he pitches the ball, boom. It's a home run. Okay, I've shared this with some other people here. Okay, when you hit that home run, you have to go to first base, you have to go to second base, you have to go to third base, then you have to come home. Amen? That's right. I mean, just sitting there and saying, well, wow, what a home run. Wow, great, awesome, wow. You've got to go. So there's things that you, and it's not to work, not to get saved, but because of salvation and what God has done for you, there's good things that come out of that life. Amen? I'm not doing this to get saved. Okay, I'm not doing this to get saved. I'm doing this because I am saved. Amen? So there's a difference. So, and there's things here in our lives that we hang on to, the things of this world, that corrupt us. That corrupt us. And consequently, we live kind of a double life. One foot in church, one foot in the world. Like that. Okay? And over here in Canada, United States, we can live like that. But over in other countries, you can't. Muslim country, if you're a Muslim, you decide to give your life to Christ, that's what you do. Because then the parents, they have the law behind them that say, I can stone you. We can stone you to death, right? So when they give their lives to Christ, that's what they do. Amen? But over here in Canada, where we are in Alberta, we don't have to worry about anybody stoning us. Amen? We don't have to worry about anybody throwing stones at us yet. Right. Not yet. So, but here's what God requires of us. God does not want just 10% of your life. Right? God wants 100% of your life. Does he not? Amen. We sang the song about to be like Jesus this morning. Remember that? Hey? Was it to be like Jesus? Okay? How many of you want to be like Jesus? Everybody? Yeah? Is that right? You sure about that? Are you sure? You know what it's like? You know what it's going to cost you? Do you? Everything. It's going to cost you everything. Are you kidding me? You mean I just can't come to church on Sunday morning and that's good enough? Sorry. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. You can come to church here Sunday morning for 100 Sundays. Does that mean you're saved? No. God wants your whole heart. Amen? Every part of it. Every room. He wants, well, I got this career, God. I'm looking forward to being a career, you know, in this. Space scientist or something like this. Right? God wants that. God wants that. Okay, you young kids? Right? I want to grow up to be a policeman. Right? He wants your dreams. He wants your dreams. He wants your aspirations. Every part of you. Okay? That's what he got. It cost him. It cost Jesus everything. Right? And you guys sang that song, I Want to Be Like Jesus. Right? We want to be like Jesus. But you have no idea, maybe, what it's going to cost you. God told his disciples, okay, you want to follow me? You got to hate your mom. You got to hate your dad. You got to hate your brothers. You got to hate your sisters. Everybody, you got to hate them. Now, does that mean you have to? I hate Terry? No. It means that he's got to be number one. Jesus has got to be number one. Amen? Number one in our lives. And I believe there's people here this morning. God is saying, hey, it's time. It's time. With this amount of people, if we had 100% dedication to the living God, think about it. 100% dedication from every one of you here. Think about it. This whole city wouldn't have a chance. Amen? It wouldn't. You know? But we hold back. We hold back. All of us have to come to this root. Jesus Christ came to this root, this place in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to kneel before the living God. Say, God, God, if there's another way, Father, if there's another way, is it possible? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. If Jesus had to go through it, how much more us? Amen? How much more? Like I said, this flesh wants to take you into an eternal hell. And if you listen to it, and if you allow it to reign and rule in your life, that's where you'll end up. Into an eternal hell. Separated from God forever. Is that God's plan for you? Is that God's plan for you? Absolutely not. He loves potter's hands so much. He loves you people so much. So much. So much. I mean, think of the things that he's brought you through. Think of it. Man. Mercy. The mercy that God has shown us. Every last one of us. I mean, we should be write-offs. We're all write-offs, except Gertie. Gertie's a sweet lady. Amen? All these older folks. Amen? Ricky? Hallelujah. So I believe this morning, God not only wants your heart, but he wants your whole body. Every part. You want to experience the deep things of God? Do you? It's going to cost you. Put these chairs up here yesterday. The reason I put up these chairs here is because it's too low or whatever. When you're bending over, kneeling, whatever. I mean, if you're comfortable with that, that's fine. But I thought just with chairs, kneeling there, hallelujah. But you guys need to get it right with God. Right? You need to get it right. You say, well, I have next week. I'll worry about it next week. I'm a young guy. Okay? I'm a young man. I got lots of time. I got lots of time. No, you don't. Where does it say you're going to be alive next week? It doesn't say that. You think, oh, well, I'm healthy. You know? No. God has given you opportunity this day. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. If God can use a donkey, listen, if God can use a donkey to speak in a human voice, could he use me? Right. You know? If you harbor ill feelings, if you harbor any unforgiveness towards your family members, that'll keep you out. Amen? I pray that every one of you will hear the voice of God this morning speaking to your hearts. Amen? You need Jesus. You need Him. I need Him. I desperately need Him. Amen? There's no other way. I wish I could say to you guys, there's another way. Well, actually there is. I'm sorry. If you live a perfect life, perfect. How many here can live a perfect life? Amen? Not a single one of us. Not even Norma. Nobody can live a perfect life. Nobody. It's impossible. Okay? So that leaves us one. One. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. You can call upon other gods. You can call upon other religions. Religion won't help you. Religion will not help you. God hates religion. Religion will take you to hell. It'll get you to believe in something like this. This here is my God. This is my God. Right? Jesus is the answer, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. Amen? There is no other way. There is no other way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'll get to the message. Can't see that. What time is it? Hey? 10 to 12? I got 10 minutes. Man. Amen. I got 20. Hallelujah. The only thing that I can share with you this past week has just been our prayer times have been so awesome. Just entering in, we have more people coming for prayer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, or Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursdays. And stuff, eh? And the prayer has just brought me into a deeper relationship with the living God. It's brought me into a deeper relationship. I have good structure in my life. I got these guys here that I do a Bible study with on Wednesday mornings. I got one that I do Tuesday morning. So I like structure. I need it. The human heart for me, I need structure. You know, this is why a lot of times these guys that go to jail, they're incarcerated, they do really fine in there. Because they're, you know, you got so much time to read the Word. You got all day to read the Word and a few, you know. So that's why they just thrive inside when they're incarcerated. And so for the humanity is, I would say, is no different outside here in the free world. We need structure. So I'm saying that we have a prayer meeting here tonight. We have various other prayer meetings throughout the week and studies. Come and participate. Get involved. Get involved. Come. I know you guys are, those that are involved in the study, all right? Praise God. Good. Continue that. But for those that are not in a study, that don't have a fellowship or a group that you're meeting with, it's something, I'll give you another analogy, what it's like. If you had a big bonfire here, you had a whole bunch of logs here, and man, the flames are just shooting through the roof here. And you'd grab one log, and you'd chuck it over here, put this log over here. How long do you suppose that thing would burn? Not very long, right? And so this is what it's like when you remove yourself from this, okay? Come, get involved. It doesn't matter where, but get involved. Get some studying happening. Get some people praying together, a group. Amen? You begin to experience God in a deeper way. Hallelujah. Now that I shared off all my message, been for the last 15, 20 years, and I may not share it again for a while, But this is the only message that God has put on my heart for years, and that is Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you want to experience more of God, this is it. This is the scripture for you. This is it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable will. So this is what God requires of us. Amen. I just want to get Chadley to put on that. I was listening to this for the last week or so. It's Jimmy Swaggart. Many of you don't know who Jimmy Swaggart is. The man of God from way back in the 70s, powerful preacher. But he's got this song. It's called what's it called? Wasted Years. That's right. Wasted Years. And how much I've wasted. Now, I want you guys just to listen to a portion of it. We won't listen to it, all of it. Maybe someone can... Ahmed, you want to get the lights there, bud? Or Norma, you want to get the lights? If you can find that, just listen to it. Yes, Lord.
Let me say that verse again, please. As you wander along on life's pathway, have you lived without love, a life of fear? Search over lives hidden me. Oh, is your life filled with long, long ways to be?
Amen. Wasted years. Wasted years. How foolish. Wasted years. My brothers, my sisters, come and get the worship team to come up. And I'll tell you, the altar here is waiting. You've wasted so many years. Amen? So many. Come. Hallelujah. Maybe Kelly, you come up and give me a hand here. And we're going to pray for some people. But if you want prayer, but I so encourage you. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life. Wasted years. I've wasted so many years myself, so many. When I gave my life, I gave my whole life, a living sacrifice. Then God has something to work with. Up until then, you can just live haphazardly, one foot in church, one foot in the world. But what God is requiring in of us today, hear the voice, hear His voice. Come, lay it all down. Come and lay it all down. Every part, every part. God wants every part of you, not just a portion, not just 10%. God wants 100% of your life. God will open up doors for you like you would not believe. Transform your life. They will come and you'll be standing up here and preaching the gospel. Amen. So the altar's open. If you want prayer, just come. Myself and Kelly will pray. Pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. thank everybody for coming. I pray, Lord God, that you'll give every one of us a safe week, Lord God, that you'll speak to us through your eternal word, Lord God, and that what we've heard today, Lord God, I just draw a bloodline around it, Lord God. I cover it with the blood of Jesus. I seal it with the blood of Jesus, that no enemy will be able to come in and steal these words from these, my brothers, my sisters, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Walk with each one of us throughout this week and bring us back safely here next week, Lord God. And in the process, Lord God, help us to surrender the things, Lord God, that you're going to show us this coming week into your eternal hands. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Hey, so.